Saddle up your horses.
Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walters Show, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you this week. I'm done traveling. I'm back in the saddle again, as Gene Autry used to sing. Love that song. Sang it to my kids when they were little on the guitar, and then I changed some lyrics around because I tried to Christianize everything. Not that there was anything wrong with that song, but you know. Anyway, good news, we win in the end. I'll tell you what's going on, the degree of injustice, which if you heard last week's program, was the focal point of that program. You know, what do we do now after the verdict? But we can't quit. This is not about the verdict. This is about maybe the verdict that may be rendered on the United States. But we win in the end. It doesn't matter what country you're in. It only matters which God you serve. And there is only one God. True God. The other ones are gods, little g. We serve the one in all caps. That's right. So that with that, that's the encouragement as far as I can get today. I'm going to start out with a little lament for my brothers and sisters in California. In-N-Out burgers are going up in price. Now this could be the lead story if I was covering just bad news. And why? Because of the $20 minimum wage. It's choking the fast food businesses. That is one of them. Now, for my California listeners, this is going to blow you away. What I'm reading here from the In-N-Out in Irvine, which is a headquarters for In-N-Out, that the cheeseburger is now $8.15 and the double-double, I don't know what the double-double is, doesn't say in this article. No, I'm sorry. The cheeseburger is $8.65 for the double-double and then $8 or something for the regular one. Now, $8.65 for a double-double, I paid on Saturday here in Arizona. I'm a lifelong fan of In-N-Out, $5.35. So it's over $3 more expensive now for a double-double in California than in Arizona. And Arizona's probably higher than some other states. Okay, next thing. I'm going to whip through a bunch of things because I got a topic I want to cover today on how the U.S. has lost the high moral ground and what country may actually have taken over the high moral ground. You've already heard enough about the Hunter Biden trial and conviction and so forth. But other than the fact that a lot of the MAGA people, a lot of the Trump people are upset that this trial was ever held. Not that he wasn't guilty. He's guilty. It's that this is supposedly Joe Biden's DOJ trying to show that no one is above the law. They'll use this conviction as proof that somehow no one's above the law, which of course means justifying the perversion of justice in New York, that banana republic formerly known as New York. Trump went to X to complain that the president's son won't spend a day in prison, which he probably will not. And here's my prediction. I'm not sure when the sentencing is, but whatever the sentencing is, right after the election, November 6th, if he's in the Hoosegow, Joe Biden will commute the sentence or just plain pardon him. No doubt about it. He has nothing to lose at that point if he's been reelected. If he's lost, loses the election, then, of course, he has to hurry up and do it before he's no longer president. So either way, win or lose for Joey No Brains Corn Pop Biden, he will pardon Hunter on November 6th or the first business day thereafter. That's all I really want to spend on that. Hunter's a loser. You know, for Biden to come out and talk about family values and on Father's Day, I'm sure he will, blah, blah, blah. When his own family's been a wreck, he was sleeping with Jill Biden while she was still married, and Hunter's an absolute wreck. And, of course, he lies about his son, Beau. What a loser. Okay, next. And related to the previous story is, what does Joe Biden do after Hunter's conviction? He goes after the Second Amendment. Now, this guy's got some screws loose. We know that. But he says, he gave a speech. He said, who in God's name needs a magazine that holds 200 shells? Well, first of all, Joe, what a loser. What an absolute moron. Shells are really the technical term that you use for a shotgun. No shotgun has a magazine, and if it did, not to hold 200. You can get a shotgun that holds more than one shot, like a pump shotgun, won't hold 200. That's what holds shells. In automatic, semi-automatic, single-shot weapons, they're bullets, Joe. But lest I spend time on a needless point that you will never learn anyway, what is up with this? He's railing on guns when the most recent gun incident is the conviction of his son who used false pretenses to buy a gun. So, is he really saying we need to increase the requirements so my son would not have been able to lie and get the gun? Is that what he's saying? The answer is, who knows what the heck he's trying to say? If somebody had a mock pistol, let's say a starter pistol that had been Joe Biden, and it was found somewhere on his front yard, front lawn of the White House, he'd give an anti-gun speech. It's ridiculous. But anyway, so the answer, who in God's name needs a magazine that holds 200 shells? I don't even know of a magazine that holds bullets that holds 200. Maybe they are. Gosh, I hope there are. I'll tell you who needs that. Anyone who realizes a need to protect themselves against your goon squads, Joe, when you send people out with overwhelming force for misdemeanor and low-grade felony crimes to arrest them under the threat of multiple gunshot wounds, like you did with a pastor protesting at an abortion clinic. Well, why is this really an issue? Because Joey, it doesn't really matter yet. I think this is what he's going for. You know, the eight guys that got arrested this week, the jihadists, they just walked across our border. No, some of them got vetted and said, hey, they're clean. They're as dirty as can be. So he would like to use the ease of getting guns in the hands of resident foreign criminals to shoot the place up as the pretext for taking away our guns. In other words, it is a variation on Barack Hussein Obama's Fast and Furious program. Give the guns to the cartels so that when they use American guns and killing people, that would be the justification for a ban on the so-called and inappropriately called assault weapons. I'm going to be done with that here. One more thing, and then we're going to get on a couple other things here. A little, what do we call it? Public service announcement? Absolute proof. Absolute proof. The researchers have analyzed records of over 5 million children and have conclusively presumed that as a result of the stupid COVID-19 vax, these children have an elevated risk of epilepsy and appendicitis. Of course, myocarditis after they get older, but we'll save some of the complications from the deadly vaccine. It isn't COVID that's deadly. It's a vaccine that's deadly. Well, all right. Oh, so for a lighter moment here before we jump into today's program, you probably saw the video this week where Joe Biden is standing there frozen as a statue while there is a black group playing a song. I don't know what the song was. It was a nice song. I like the song. And everybody's swaying in the breeze there, clapping, along with Kamala Harris on a Juneteenth celebration. And don't even get me going on Juneteenth, but that's another story. So Joey apparently thinks that somebody has said attention, because he's just standing there frozen as a statue forever. I know the answer to this. It's not an answer anybody else has. It isn't the fact that he's comatose, the fact that he is lost in space. No, it comes down to this. I'm from a family of nine. Very musical family. My father actually was an orchestra conductor earlier in life, taught piano and violin later in life, and my mother taught piano and trumpet. Being down almost to the end of the line, when my mother said, you need to take piano lessons, I said, oh, really? Can I play football? She was fatigued. She had too many kids. Said, okay, go ahead. So needless to say, I never learned how to play piano. I can read some music vocally, but all my brothers play a couple of instruments and get down to me, and I play the default instruments, as my father called them, banjo, guitar, harmonica. But I do play a mean electric bass. Two of my brothers are drummers. We all in our family had rhythm in no short supply. Joey Biden, however, is part of the sad multitude of whites, I think, suffering from a congenital defect of having been born without any sense of rhythm. Joey doesn't know how to move. If he sways, he falls over. If he claps, he doesn't remember what he's clapping for. He doesn't know the tune to anything. It's a sad state. He just happens to be one of those that drew the short straw in the white rhythm department. It's so pathetic. Oh my gosh. I got to tell you, I feel like I was born with it, but I substituted in a church band one time for a guy who was sick. I came in there with my bass. That worship leader doing a contemporary song partway through, he turned around. He'd never heard me play. He said, man, where did you learn that? I said, Alan, that was his name. Alan, I didn't learn it. I just feel it. He goes, whoa, well, you're hired, pal. Anyway, that's the answer. Why Joe Biden could not sway in the breeze under the risk of falling over and doing a face plant on the asphalt during the Juneteenth celebration. But I got to thinking last night. I woke up with what I thought was a revelation, an epiphany. Was it from God? I don't know. You can be the judge. But how do we get the federal government employees? You see, every socialist communist country has become that through the growth of a centralized federal government. They're all for themselves. They're all about staying in power. They're all about voting to themselves pay raises while they just put the screws to everybody else. Okay? How do we get a return of the government employees back to anything closely resembling a constitutional republic? In other words, actually, how do we get conservatives voted into Congress to do the right thing, pass term limits so that they no longer can be afraid to do the things that nobody will like but need to be done? But this is the idea. I'd like to write me, tell me it stinks, what have you. Red Sky Radio 777 at gmail.com. But here is my idea. You pass legislation that on March 1st is a federal paid holiday for every year in which a Democrat is not president. Right? They get a paid holiday if there's not a Democrat on the throne. Now, I didn't want to say for a Republican because we got that there's a Republican there, because not all Republicans are good. We got a lot of rhinos. We got a bunch of feckless, gutless weenies on the Republican side, but they're all bad on the Democrat side. There's not one good. No, not one. It's like Jesus said, they're all have fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. But might they be motivated to vote for a non-Democrat to avoid having a Democrat president that would rip them off from one day of paid holiday? I don't know. I thought it was kind of a good idea. Now we are on to the topic of the day. And that is U.S. lost its moral superiority to Russia? My conclusion here is, I'm going to say yes. At the highest level, Russia is more morally superior to the United States. Vladimir Putin is by far, notwithstanding Ukraine, and which, by the way, I saw a picture the other day, I think on a Canadian Free Press, it showed all of the Ukrainian Nazis. They are there. There are Nazi units in Ukraine, like Tucker Carlson has documented. They are there, and I saw the picture of them. I don't think any question about it. But even notwithstanding Ukraine, Vladimir Putin is far superior morally to Joe Biden and the entire Democrat Party. And we're going to prove it here today. And I'm going to finish with a scripture that will be the real proof as to why we are descending. And actually, Russia may be ascending. And the whole thing about Gog and Magog and Russia's part of the end time war, coming the army out of the north. Well, there's a lot of geography north of Israel that does not include Russia. And it would be Joel Richardson's book. Gosh, one of the greatest books I've ever read, called The Islamic Antichrist. Will prove that the Gog and Magog Russia deal is sort of a left behind series end time scenario that's bogus. But this didn't startle me, but it actually sort of thrilled me that at least someone somewhere is doing something right. And it comes out of Russia. Don't get me wrong. They do some bad things. I love our country. But you can only love the brother who does drugs, beats somebody up, murders somebody, and ends up in prison. You can only love them so much, right? Blood is not, to me, thicker than water. You may think it harsh, and I've said this before. If my children all turned into raging Democrats, I would disinherit every one of them. I would. Doesn't mean I don't love them. Just means I'm not going to subsidize something that is, praise God, it's easy for me to say because I got great children, great spouses, great grandchildren. It's a blessing to be in a family where, far as I can tell, everybody really loves Jesus. Okay, so this Russian expert and an advisor to President Putin, he's calling for, quote, nuclear escalation, end quote. Now, keep in mind, Ukraine is using American missiles to fire into Russia and attack Russian assets. Now, it's not unusual for the United States to supply one side to fight that's fighting against another side that is being supplied by Russia. So the two heavyweights don't get engaged head-to-head, but the two proxies are involved head-to-head using the weapons of each one of the benefactoring states. But this is different. We have American missiles heading into Russia itself, not a Russian proxy state, and taking out Russian assets in the sky, drones, planes, what have you. They're coming down with what we have supplied. This is why there is that risk of World War III. How big? I don't know. Only God knows that. But so this Russian expert, he said there's a startling demand for massive destruction that seems to be coming to fruition, to the surface. So says this man, Sergei Karaganov, a Russian political scientist, like I said, advisor to Putin. He heads the nation's foreign and defense policy security institution and the dean of the Faculty of World Economy and International Affairs in Moscow. This guy is high up. He's close. He is saying that there's a time for a nuclear escalation. But understand why he's saying this and his reason for saying it. I got a quote. He said, if we don't climb up the ladder of escalation more decisively, won't we anger even God Almighty? Do you hear this? This is Russia, supposedly the atheistic state. I mean, and he's talking about, and he's speaking publicly about God Almighty. And he continues. He said, in the past, God Almighty has shown us the way when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Is it any accident this is Queer Pride Month? By raining fire upon them for their disobedience and their depravity. So this is one of the highest ranking government officials in Russia giving a public speech addressing God. Addressing the people, referencing God, and also the fact that Sodom and Gomorrah was judged because of their depravity, which is all about queer sex. And, of course, tranny sex, which is the same thing, tranny business. This is Russia calling us out for moral depravity. Now, he hits the Europeans first. He says Europeans are even worse than the U.S. He says Americans are a little bit more cautious, but they keep going down this path. He said it was a lesson humanity has learned but forgotten. He said humanity learned the lessons from Sodom and Gomorrah that you don't tick off God by entering into gross sexual depravity and then calling it pride. I had one sort of fakey Christian tell me once, Rob, Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't destroyed because of homosexual sin, which I think is a redundancy. She said it was because of their pride. And there's a spot that references their pride in Isaiah. But who talks about pride more pridefully than queers talk about their pride of queer sex? No one in Scripture is proud of anything except Sodom and Gomorrah is proud. And so Sodom and Gomorrah had the distinct characteristic of queer sex and sodomy. It's where we get, the origin of the word sodomy is from Sodom. He says after that, Sergei is still speaking here, humanity remembered it for many years and behaved cautiously. But now, humanity has forgotten Sodom and Gomorrah, so maybe we should remember that a rain of fire and try once more to bring humanity to its senses. End quote. I mean, do you hear what this guy is saying? He's saying that he feels it may be Russia's moral duty to have a nuclear escalation, to spank the crap out of Europe and America for its embracement of everything evil as it relates to sex. Most specifically, the depravity of homosexual sin. Does that mark the U.S.? It absolutely does. Because listen to the following stories here. This is unbelievable. Now, there's a poll taken. I think it's by Pew Research, one of the well-respected polls, of what percentage of Democrats consider prioritizing marriage and having children as beneficial for society. He didn't. The question wasn't raised, do you have to do this? They weren't. It wasn't a question by the kicker Butler for the referencing him for the Kansas City Chiefs. No, there just was a. Do you believe that giving a priority to marriage and children is good for society? The number of Democrats that think that prioritizing marriage and having children is generally beneficial for society? 19%. That means over 80% of Democrats reject the bedrock pillars of society and civilization, marriage and children. We're not talking about queer marriage. Yeah, they can get kids, somebody else have them. I say, well, it's, you know, queers can have children. No, they can't. And if it's normal, and if it's normal to be queer and have kids, let me just say this. If it's normal, and that's the only way you can get them, if it's normal for some queers, wouldn't it be normal for everybody to be queer? Wouldn't it be normal for everybody to practice sodomy and be queer? If it's okay for some, shouldn't it be okay for everybody? And if it was okay for everybody and the whole world was queer, we'd have no more children. It'd be the end of society thousands of years ago if Democrats were in charge. Only 19% of Biden voters, 19%, believe that, quote, society is better off if people make marriage and having children a priority. Now, if you're a conservative, you're a Republican, what have you, they're not the same thing. A lot of rhinos. Don't pat yourself on the back too fast, because 59% of Republicans supported it, voting for Trump. But that means 41%. 41% of the Republicans do not believe that marriage should be prioritized along with having children as being beneficial to society. This is just unbelievable. Now, let me contrast this to Russia before we jump to a break. Does Russia believe that marriage is something to be prioritized, having children is beneficial? Absolutely. Yes, they had a history going back some decades of encouraging abortion. No longer. There are tax incentives, various incentives to get married and have children. And we're not talking about queer marriage, because there's no queer, sodomistic, crapola, fake marriage in Russia. They don't go in with that for that bull crap. No. They encourage heterosexual marriage. They incentivize heterosexual marriage and incentivize having children. They're doing things right. And we are a racehorse to hell doing things wrong. Well, how badly do Democrats hate biblical values? So much so that a Paula Collins, running for a House seat in New York's 21st District, is calling for Congress to start a re-education program for conservatives. That sounds like the old Russia. They don't do that anymore. That doesn't work. Don't go away. Robin Walter with Red Sky Radio and The Robin Walter Show. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Oh, gosh, I am sorry if I make you turn the radio down when that comes on, because I turn it up. I love that song. It gets me going. Not that I needed any stimulation for this program. Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels, I love you guys. Okay, Paula Collins, seeking a seat for New York's 21st District, contends that MAGA supporters, after the 2024 election, maybe should be sent to re-education camps, even if there is a resounding, in her words, blue wave. Now, the Gateway Pundit added this little thing. It said, Paula, baby, you're not supposed to say that out loud. Democrats are expected to act as defenders of democracy and pledge unity before cracking down on their political enemies. You're ahead of yourself. You haven't won yet before you go out there and, like communist goons, go out and crack down on your political rivals, which, of course, they're trying to do and have done against Donald Trump. So she suggested that the Democrats, they should attend, those opponents to Democrats, quote, should attend a re-education camp after the election, even if Democrats see a resounding blue wave. Quote, even if we were to have a resounding blue wave come through, as many of us would like, putting it all back together again after we've gone through this mega nightmare and then re-educating, basically, which that sounds like a rather, like a re-education camp, doesn't it? I don't think we want to call it that, though. Quote, I'm sure we can find another way to phrase it. Goodness sakes, woman, are you so stupid that you actually just lay out your strategy for all to hear? We want to re-educate. We're going to send you to gulags, basically, for re-education, you conservatives. But we aren't going to call it that, and I'm announcing we'd like to do that, but I guess we shouldn't call it that. We should call it something else. Goodness sakes. Even if you were on the left, you wouldn't vote for this woman being that stupid. Well, I want to give a shout out to Navy Rear Admiral Mike Brown. No, I'm sorry. It's not a shout out. I got the wrong guy. Mike Brown is the wrong one. He's the one who's out speaking on Department of Defense Pride Day, declaring Happy Pride in an attempt to fire up the audience. He's queer as a $3 bill, and now he's a Navy Rear Admiral. Mr. Sodomite himself, Rear Admiral Mike Brown, but this is the kind of speech that I'm making right now that would send me to a rear education camp, a re-education camp. For queers, I guess it would be rear education camp. No matter who wins, according to Paula Baby. Russia's not doing that. Russia's not pushing queer sex, sodomy, tranny, garbage, and all of this in their military. No. Here's another point of comparison between us and them. We've gone whole hog on that which God calls an abomination. How about something else here? The U.S. government now is forcing, and has for a while, but it's picking up, is forcing abortion on poor countries. In other words, our number, we have two exports that are tied for the volume of exports that we export. It isn't oil, it isn't wheat, it's queer sex and abortion. This is a U.S. government now is tying aid to poor countries based upon whether they would adopt pro-abortion policies. Well, hey, you know what? God bless all the African churches that are a factor in African politics that are saying you take your Johnny paycheck, take this job and shove it. No, you can take your aid and stick it where the sun doesn't shine. We aren't doing it. And God bless the 1 million that left the other day, many, many of which are in Africa, when the United Methodist Church says, hey, queer sex, it's fine. You can ordain queer people. You can marry them, blah, blah, blah. Just go to hell, Methodist Church. John Wesley would puke if he could observe what you're doing now. But they aren't doing that in Russia. They aren't doing that in Africa. How about that? No, Russia is actually, as I said, actually incentivizing contraception. They don't see any advantage in killing innocent unborn children. But not only do we in the United States, not including me, but as a country, think it's a righteous act, so righteous that we need to export it, and so good and so demanding and so necessary that we have to tie our aid to those foreign countries upon their adoption of pro-abortion policies. In other words, we're going to make a contingency of our aid that you must slaughter innocent children in the womb. Hence, the bottom line. In effect, America is paying now not for just stateside abortions, but abortions overseas and in other countries. How about this one? Now, this comes out of California, but it's going to make the same point, because the Senate there the other day passed a ban on notifying parents of gender transitions without respect to age. There can be no, that any medical provider, loosely so-called, will be prohibited from notifying parents that their child wants to and or just did destroy their life with the mutilation of their precious young bodies. Russia doesn't do this. You know, Putin pushed back on Barack Hussein's attempt to queer the Olympics. Putin said, get that crap out of here. You're not going to come over here and homosexualize our country. Go back and do whatever you did with that guy in Chicago, Barack. Russia doesn't do this. They don't have child gender transitions. I don't think they have adult gender transitions. I don't know, but I don't think so. I mean, can you line up the dots here from queerdom to abortion to gender transition surgeries and all of that in the comparison of the two countries? Well, I read this piece. It's a great piece by Scott Lively. And it's a lively piece. And I agree with him that the greatest threat, this is the title of the article, you can pull it up if you want to read it. The caption is "The Deviants." The subcaption is "The Greatest Threat to Christendom, LGBTism. And it is an ism. It is an all-consuming, absorbing obsession with everything sex that constitutes debauchery by the people that are engaged in that behavior. Because no matter what they do, how much they pressure somebody else to do this or that, they're still racked in the back by their sin, and it cannot handle anybody preaching against it, teaching against it, writing against it, speaking on TV. They want to punish, pulverize, prosecute, and persecute anybody and everybody until supposedly all opposition is extinguished. And then, of course, after society is totally and completely ruined, like the earth before the flood, attributable to deviant sex and violence, and Sodom and Gomorrah, horrifically deviant sex. Do you see a connection here? Well, Scott says, and I want to quote Norm, how this slippery slope is not just slippery slope, it's a free fall. We're being pushed around, and it's time for people to stand up. And I do not care how much I tick off people that support this. I'm thinking about getting a t-shirt that says, burn the fag flag. I don't know if I'll get it. My wife probably won't go anywhere with me if I do get it. But at some point, somebody's got to be pushing back, even if it's in their face, so that other people who have want to do that but don't have the guts to do that, and I'm not going to beat up on them at this point, can come out of the holes and behind the rocks and behind the trees where they're increasingly hiding as the LGBT queer activists simply decide to invoke tyrannical rule at all levels. I mean the military, the government, every government agency is flying the queer flag. They can't even get the rainbow right. Do you know that? The rainbow flag has six colors. The rainbow flag has six colors. The rainbow itself has seven. Isn't that interesting? Six, or 666, is the number of man. Seven, the number of God, completion. The rainbow is perfect as it is, seven colors. But the queers can't get it right. They got six colors in there, and they have actually embraced the identification of themselves as falling short. Well, Mr. Lively says that the first country to fall in Europe was Denmark. He said the LGBTs conquered the Danish government like the Muslims conquered Constantinople and immediately began crushing all internal dissent while marching on to their next target. The first of the state churches to fall to the queers, he says gays, but in quote, I say queers, was the Anglican Church of England, which of course now is the Episcopal Church in the U.S., which is just a queer fiefdom, if you will. And my kudos to the Anglicans and the Episcopalians in Africa, many of whom were evangelized by well-meaning, God-fearing white evangelicals hundreds of years ago, have said, forget you, to the Anglican Church in England, the Episcopal Church in the United States. We're not marching down the path of queer whoredom. God forgive us if we should do that. The African church, when I say African church, I mean these formerly notable denominations of Methodists and Episcopalians in the continent of Africa. Those Africans are some of the strongest Christians in the world right now. God bless you guys. But, you know, and then from the Anglican Church, it spread to the UK Parliament. The sexual deviance has been pushed upon the school children there. But he doesn't stop there, of course, because he said that the spread to the U.S., the metastasization of the homosexualization of America is at such an alarming rate. He said it's head-turning, head-spinning. He writes this in his, one of his concluding paragraphs. In 1542, Martin Luther specifically named the human foes of Christendom to give believers a specific target for their prayers. When those prayers were answered, he changed the target to include any other threats that might arise. I think it is time to update Luther's hymn, and I'm not going to tell you what hymn it is, it she references earlier in the article, to again specify the chief enemy of the church. That chief enemy of the church is the LGBT movement, which is in reality an army of conquest. Just like Islamists, they dream of global conquest, show no moral or ethical restraint in their wars of aggression, enslavement, to indoctrinate every person they conquer, and all their descendants from that moment forward. And after each victory, repurpose every institution, technology, and asset into weapons of war against the next target. Exactly like the Borg of Star Trek in real life. So he goes on to write here. He says, I have rewritten two stanzas of a famous Luther hymn to read as follows. Lord, keep us in thy word and way. Restrain the gas. Let me just start over here. Lord, keep us in thy word and way. Restrain the grasping. Trans and gaze, who would fain steal our every lamb to blind them to the great I am. Aloft our spires, restore the cross, redeem for us the souls we've lost. Cast down the sullied rainbow flag, that mark of Babylon's leprous hag. And he wrote it to the music video of Johnny Neuer's song, The Rainbow Belongs to God. And I find it interesting that Russia has embraced so much biblically based word and content that based on morals. Morals. They absolutely are more moral as a government than the United States. So, I promised you at the beginning of this a scripture which would speak to this issue, and you're going to want to write this down, though I have referenced it before, Jeremiah 18. And in my mind, Jeremiah 18 could not speak more specifically to the United States and to Russia. It does to others, but specifically right now, for this point in time, to the U.S. and Russia. God says, Jeremiah 18, starting in verse 7, at the moment that I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, so we know he's not just talking about Israel, a nation, a kingdom, any nation, any kingdom, to pluck it up, to pull it down, and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced that turns from their evil, I will repent or relent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. You see, so no nation, at least to some point, is too far gone. There is a point, and we've read this, where God has said back in 1 and 2 Kings, you know, I've got to render this judgment unto Israel. It's beyond restoration at this point in time. I'll restore them in the future, but not now. Right now, I got to wreck them. So maybe they come around to their senses. Maybe it's the sort of the biblical version of the nuclear escalation that Sergei Nagaranov talked about at the opening of this segment, about raining down the fire upon the modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah to bring them to their senses, to shock them into having some common sense in the restoration of some normalcy. But the scripture goes on to say, but at what moment I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build it, to plan it, to raise it up, if it does evil in my sight, that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent of the good, or meaning change my mind, wherewith I said that I would benefit them. Who is he talking about here? Well, it says any nation, any kingdom. My opinion, right at this moment in time, it's clear he's talking about the United States, raised up for good. But we pursue evil, and we pursue evil relentlessly with a vicious fist to God's face, give him the middle finger of diplomacy, rejecting all of God's word, and not only just rejecting, but beating up, prosecuting, persecuting, and punishing those who would extol the virtues of the word of God. That's not how we were raised as a country. It's not how I was raised going back in the previous century. But it's how what we are pursuing as a nation with a vengeance, a hatred. Our federal government and all the lackeys that occupy these agencies, including Biden and Harris and Mayorkas and Christopher Wray and Garland, go right on down the line. Gavin Newsom, go right on down the line. They're Christophobic. They hate Jesus Christ. They're bibliophobic. They hate God's word. We will reap our just deserts, as that expression goes. We will reap what we have sown. And looking across to the other side of the world, there's a country that had nothing but evil on its mind. It pursued the destruction of the United States by introducing moral sin, abortion, queerdom. Read the Communist Manifesto. And Russia has and may still be judged because they laid the seed of pornography and sexual obsession here in the United States. But that's not what they're pursuing today. God hasn't judged them yet. He might, but this passage seems to be indicating that though they intended to do evil and did evil, clearly, and he would treat them accordingly and judge them accordingly, my goodness, they're coming out against pornography. They're coming out against queer sex. They don't have queer marriage. They don't have tranny this and tranny that. They're not encouraging abortions. They're encouraging live births and marriage and families, children. They don't get everything right, that's for sure. There's no question about it, that. But there's a move going on there that I'm envious of. Look, I don't want to move to Russia. I can't have a gun. That's one of the things they don't have right. But it may not be long before we can't have them here, because that's the next step, the next phase, in assuming the complete control over everyone in this country. Once we are disarmed, it truly is over for this country. We'll have nothing but various Gestapo-like, SS-like agencies, most of whom are armed already, demanding that we do obedience to the government and obeisance and fealty to whoever's in charge. God, help us. Father, I ask you, Lord God, that if there needs to be some sort of escalation by Russia to bring us, as they said, to our senses, and that's what this man was actually preaching while he's speaking publicly as one of the highest government officials in Russia. They aren't seeking war. He said, does it take a nuclear escalation to rain down fire like Sodom and Gomorrah and bring Europe and the United States to their moral senses? I mean, this is phenomenal. I don't know where this goes. All I'm doing today is painting a portrait of comparison. A picture of comparison. The one side versus the other. The side that has been nothing but evil, but has begun a pursuit of righteousness and good that's startling. And a nation that was founded upon righteousness and biblical principles, which would love nothing more than to burn every single Bible in this country. They just don't quite have the full grasp. They don't have all the control necessary to do it. And if November 5th, 2024, it goes the wrong way, we may have lost our opportunity to turn it around. If you're not registered to vote and vote for Donald Trump, get your fanny down to some voting agency and get registered and vote. Don't rely on others. This could be our last chance. God bless you all. Sit tall in the saddle, America. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. We'll see you next week.